This is Corner Geeks episode 12, The New iPad, recorded 9th March 2012.
Okay, so on March 7th in San Francisco, Apple had their iPad announcement where they announced the new iPad. Not the iPad 3, not the iPad HD, but the new iPad.
The new iPad? So,
yes, the new iPad. Would you like to tell us a bit about it, Firas?
The new iPad. Generally speaking, it's about what you'd expect. Hardware-wise, Retina display, double the resolution.
Quad the resolution.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yep. Quad resolution. New processor, AX something. Generally, it's just a dual-core processor plus 4 quad-core graphics.
Not 4 quad-core graphics, just a quad-core graphics, okay? Not 16.
No, Tim, it's 16. The iPad is magical. Yeah, I'm messing this up.
He's talking about the future again.
The quad-core graphics. 4G, LTE, if that matters to you in the US, maybe. Maybe if you're in Kazakhstan. I don't know, but yeah, that was actually fairly surprising for a lot of people.
And I think last but not least, also the improved rear camera, now at 5 megapixel. So it can actually take 5 megapixel photos for those of you guys who actually want to take photos with an iPad.
Camera.
And actually, I did meet a few people who do that. So they're obviously going to be happy with that.
I think a lot of people are slowly using that anymore. And not only is it the 5 megapixel, I think they're using the 4S's camera optics. So that should be make a lot of people happy. And 1080p recording?
Yeah, 1080p video recording. I guess it's nice touch. Obviously, a nice bump up for 720p. But I think nothing too spectacular in that sense.
Yeah. That's about it. Well, the battery life is about the same, 50 hours and 9 hours if you're using 4G, which is actually surprisingly good.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about Android phones now that have 4G, right, they always talk about how pretty bad the battery life is. So this having 9 hours of continuous 4G use is actually pretty good. And I guess in terms of providing this battery life with a high resolution screen, they've added they do have a bigger battery, almost double the capacity of the old one.
Whoa.
But adding a little bit of weight, about 50 grams more compared to the iPad 2. So it's slightly heavier, but I guess it's still a good device.
Well, maybe you'll notice it. Is there anything else hardware-wise?
Hardware-wise, that's mostly it. It's also slightly thicker. But yeah, I think nothing... Yeah. Not a deal-breaker, not a deal-breaker at all.
Yes.
It's available next week.
Yeah. Ooh, in Singapore.
Yeah, next week. Well, 16th of March is their first-tier country, did I get it? Which surprisingly includes Singapore, the first time that Singapore's been in the first-tier country list. Yeah.
I am assuming, though this is an assumption, maybe an educated guess, that that also means it'll be soon for us Bruneians. Yay!
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that should happen. AV Electronics, like last year, when they released the iPad 2, we had a simultaneous launch at Singapore. So,
really?
And not only that, a simultaneous launch. Which was very surprising to me. And not only that, but they also match the prices.
Oh, man.
We'll see how that comes along.
I wonder if AV Electronics is going to surprise us. Actually, maybe one day before, like they say, actually, we have the new iPad here. Create a frenzy. Everyone will be like, it's a Friday.
They could if they're not already in Singapore somewhere.
Yeah.
If anybody wants some from Australia, I can buy it here and ship it to you.
We
are first-tier country too.
It's also on a Friday, so it's a holiday, or more or less a holiday. So, anyway, I can wish.
Yeah.
I can
anyway, wish. Aside from that, there was also the March 23rd international release. And as always, Brunei's not there because Brunei's not even an official Apple.
Yeah.
There's no official Apple store, just a premium reseller.
Yeah,
so already. We'll have to see when AV Electronics actually gets them here. Well, sorry, gets them to Brunei.
Yeah, anyway. I think we should get back to the operating system, actually. Yeah. There was an iOS 5.1 update.
Yep.
Does the iPad tethering, is it available on the old iPads too? Do you know?
I'm not too sure. Yeah, because actually there were two new features mentioned in the new iPad. There was one is tethering of mobile data over Wi-Fi to other devices. I guess also over Bluetooth if it's similar to the iPhone. This was some. This is one reason I always disliked the mobile data for iPad, because it didn't have tethering. It was strange, considering you have a big device with pretty good battery life. So to me, it seemed logical to actually have it as a tethering device to other things like phones or even your laptop.
Yeah.
So this is indeed a welcome feature for me. And the second feature they mentioned was also voice dictation. So you actually have a microphone on your keyboard, and you can use that to dictate messages, I guess, similar to Android. This is not available in the original iPad 2, and I guess not on the iPad 1 either.
Anyway, but yeah, there was a new iOS 5.1 update that was pretty interesting. I actually want to just go straight to the software. Do we have anything else to talk about here, Tim?
Don't think much. Yeah, iOS 5.1 Siri for things for languages like Japanese, and an increase of the over-the-air applications from previously from 20 megabytes to now 50 megabytes that you can download over 3G or 4G.
Ooh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, a welcome feature. Does not solve the problem of having to download big applications. I don't think it solved the problem of not being able to do FaceTime over mobile data.
Yeah.
I guess we have to wait and see whether it fixes that.
Yeah, well, it probably won't. But maybe slowly Apple is trying to to loosen the grip of the carriers over this evil restrictions. Mostly US carriers. Even though we are not in the US, but generally all this limitation comes from the US carriers.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I guess moving right along, let's get back to the software side where they actually had application updates to, I guess, one, to make use of the Retina display. There were updates to things like iMovie, iWorks, as well as GarageBand, which I guess were okay, nothing that notable to mention, except for perhaps in... Yeah?
Actually, the iMovie update was surprisingly good. It made it more usable. I think they added outlines so that you can plan your shot beforehand, and then you can shot on it. So I think it made it more usable.
Oh, okay. I guess it didn't seem too impressive to me, so I didn't really read much on that.
I think it makes people, like, for example, I heard somewhere that, for example, a director could just come with a plan outline before, maybe like, okay, let's do this, shoot it using the iPad. Now that since the camera is okay now, it should be better. See if it works. See if it works aesthetically, looking at the video. Then if it's okay, then they can just shoot it using real cameras. Or maybe like now, if they have a project or using courseware, you can have that, and we can just reshoot that scene over and over, things like that. So I think it makes it more usable, perhaps. Anyway, the iMovie update specifically was fairly interesting for some people. But apart from that, not you. Wait, what do you mean not you? Aren't you supposed to be doing more video podcasts?
I have yet to actually do one from the iPad. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Cause you know, you have to prop it up to actually take photos or take videos. So that's a bit cumbersome. I would prefer to do it on my iPod Touch, but then I don't know how to transfer photos and videos from that to the iPad and have it recognized by iMovie on the iPad.
Yeah.
Because you know how Apple is with things like that.
That's why you need the new iPad, Tim. The new iPad.
But anyway, you see, the new iPad's heavier. So it's going to be harder to actually hold it up to do stuff like that.
You need to find another cameraman, Tim.
Firdaus, why did you leave me?
I had to stay here. Anyway.
There's also GarageBand. I think what interests me, even though I'm not a musician, it has the ability to pair up to 4 iOS devices via Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, and you're able to actually jam in real time, have a real-time jamming session. It's kind of interesting.
I think it's pretty good. At first, I was really excited about it, but when I realized it's essentially limited to only like keyboard, drums, guitar. In other words, it's just the MIDI information rather than like the actual wave information, which makes sense actually. But it is actually quite fun. I would imagine it would be quite a fun thing because everyone has their headphones. Yeah, I can get excited with that. More or less.
Perhaps it will be the new Rock Band.
Ooh, yes. Maybe with smart keyboards and smart guitar. Anyway, but yeah.
I guess the biggest update of all in terms of software side of application is the new iPhoto app.
It's
available
pretty
not
good,
only for the iPad, but also for the iPhone and iPod Touch, isn't it?
I need to download that, actually. I didn't realize it was so...
But it is $4.99, I believe.
Easily. No, I'm good now. I'm clean. Sorry. Yes. I have money. iPhoto is actually fairly interesting. For me, not only as an app itself, but also furthering the post PC stuff. You know, well, I think I've said way too many about this subject. But yeah, it's another step into content creation on the iPad or using the iPad productively. In a meaningful manner. In other words, now that we have iPhoto, maybe iWork, now plausibly someone like a student could create their own report. They can edit the photo in iPhoto, maybe like save from it, and then like drag it into, well, not drag it into, maybe share it or pass it along to Pages, and then they can create their own their report using that. Presumably they can even like shoot their own videos or courseware if they have like a video projects, which increasingly seems to be more interesting rather than creating a report. They can record audio using GarageBand. So this is actually fairly interesting proposition. Maybe as a student, potentially you could use your iPad, just an iPad, to do your work.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, I guess one thing telling in terms of iPhoto when they say they want to pitch it more to professional usage is that it can work with up to photos of 19 megapixels.
19 megapixels. And
a typical user won't have a 19 megapixel photo. We're talking about, I guess, mostly professionals here, aren't we?
I guess, yeah, you're right. Mostly the SLR and the stray camera phone or two. I think you're right. It's mostly SLR camera.
I guess there's a lot of, like, photo touching. It's not exactly like Photoshop, right? It's more like enhancement, like something similar that iPhoto does on the Mac, isn't it?
Yeah. iPhoto,
a lot of exposure, contrast,
aperture for the
and
Mac.
A lot of actual utilization of multi-touch to actually control these things.
Actually, Photoshop was meant to be something like this. It's essentially Photoshop. But then over the years, it became more like even digital artists and stuff do it. Also use it to create posters and stuff. Actually, now that I think of it, third party, there was also Sketchbook, which is also fairly interesting. Sketchbook.
Yeah, I think so.
That's also interesting in that this is more for drawing. So if you want to draw, you could probably get that instead of iPhoto. I think iPhoto is pretty good, especially for the price.
For $4.99. Not bad. They had features also like being able to share via iCloud and having a public link, which you can actually copy, I guess, share it on the social networks and stuff like that. It's a nice feature, because at least
Twitter.
Meaning that you save your photo to iCloud, so it's saved in the cloud, supposedly. And there's also a photo beaming ability, so you can actually share a photo to another iOS device over Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, which I guess...
Wow.
It's interesting and useful, because you know how you used to be able to do that with like old Nokia phones back in the day?
Wow, what is this new technology? Amazing.
But I don't know, there's always times you want to share a photo with people, and I think the problem with iOS is that if you don't have the same app that actually has a sending and receiving application installed on both of the devices, you won't be able to do such a thing. So having it built into iPhoto might be at least a step in the right direction. Because I know the iPad has new Bluetooth 4.0, which might be something that they're using. Because I think Bluetooth has something like Bluetooth Direct, where you can send files directly to them. Or perhaps I'm getting mixed up with Wi-Fi Direct. Forget I said anything.
I think you're right.
Yeah?
Maybe you're right, because like even GarageBand is just like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi. Maybe it's actually Wi-Fi. Ooh, Bluetooth. Anyway, forget we said anything.
Yeah, so I think, honestly, the biggest application that there was iPhoto. It's a new application. It handles, obviously, managing your photos. Would you be running out to get it and download it?
Yes, if I had an iPad 3. New iPad. It's actually fairly interesting if you look at the video demonstration. It was fairly awesome as an application itself. Furthermore, this also, I think, did I say this before? I guess I said it right. This helps to... Okay. I think I said this before.
It's okay. You're saying it again. It's okay.
Because it's so important. Anyway, other developers will now look at iPhoto, and before this, Photoshop, Touch, Sketchbook Pro, Avid, and start to think that maybe we should start considering creating a full-fledged application based on this touch. In other words, something like Windows 8, in that they are pushing like even the productive apps need to be Metro, at least for the ARM-based stuff. Anyway, it's interesting. I find it interesting anyway. Application, awesome. Implications for the future, maybe even more awesome, according to Fidos.
Yeah, I guess it's very interesting that all the things that they mentioned, right, were actually content creation applications. iMovie, iWorks, GarageBand, iPhoto. And obviously, I guess you have the camera as well with improved video recording. Mm. So you can actually take video and process it on the device itself, publishing it and sharing it around. So the iPad is becoming so much more of a content creation device rather than just a consumption device that I guess it previously used to be in maybe in the first generation that it was.
Also, I think for if like anybody in Brunei is actually like listening to this for bit advice for buying or not, maybe you'd want to consider buying the 64-bit or the largest size
64 gig, you mean?
iPad. I think so, 64-bit, right? Oh yeah, gig. Yes, sorry. Oh, there's a
64 bits. You can store 8 bytes.
No, Tim, it's the CPU architecture. 64-bit, Tim. 64-bit, anyway. But yeah, maybe like the 64 gigabyte size, because if you're thinking about using it more as a content creation device.
Especially if you're talking about 1080p video.
Yeah, and along with the fact that maybe all the new apps will be larger in size. And I think I've mentioned this before, I don't remember, but if you're also looking to downloading multimedia textbooks or books from the iArthur, which may be huge in size, I think the example textbooks were like 4 gigabytes or something ridiculous like that. There goes your cap, Tim. Anyway,
think of this. iMovie itself is 400 megabytes. iPhoto is over 100.
Yeah, for an application, for like a desktop application, that sounds about right. And
Pages is 269.
Yeah.
Numbers is another 280.
That's a healthy indication.
Keynote is another 300.
Yeah.
So that's, okay, GarageBand is 800 megs. So that's almost practically 2 gigs.
Yeah.
In terms of an office application and production applications, not talking about perhaps you want to get Photoshop Touch, if you want to get Avid as well. It's at easily 2 gigs, and the OS itself will probably take 3 gigs.
And
so that's already about 5 gigs being used.
Yep. And if you download, maybe let's say you have a, let's say I make a courseware for 3 modules and each is 4 gigs. We're up to, what, 20 gigs now? I don't know.
Or close to that.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, if before I used to like say 16 gigs is enough, or getting the smallest one is probably enough. Now, I may actually rethink that advice. Anyway, it depends on what kind of user you are. Probably.
Yeah. I guess since we touched on the capacities, we should also touch on the prices, right? Mm. So the new iPad actually matches the old iPad 2 prices, starting at $499 for the 16GB Wi-Fi version and $629 USD for the 16GB Wi-Fi plus 4G. If you take a look at the Apple Store, on Singapore Apple Store, it actually works out to be $658 Singapore dollars, or $828 Singapore dollars for the Wi-Fi and Wi-Fi plus 4G respectively.
That's pretty good.
So in a sense, it's actually $10 cheaper than last year for the iPad 2.
Nice.
In Singapore prices at least. So it's actually a little bit cheaper. But if you want to save even more money, the old iPad 2 prices have dropped, actually. So they're going for $399 US dollars or $528 Singapore dollars for the Wi-Fi version. And Wi-Fi plus 3G starts at $529 USD, $689 Singapore dollars.
And actually, as obvious, or is as obvious, it's because when we were talking about what were the new iPad upgrades, we were really like having a hard time, or I was really having a hard time to sell it. iPad 2 is actually still a fairly good device, I would imagine. All the exciting stuff is actually fairly software. Admittedly, some of the software is probably processor intensive, but I would imagine the current iPad would still be, there would be a lot more iPad 2 only apps in the coming year rather than iPad 3 only apps due to simply the market share. So don't worry about the iPad 2 suddenly becoming obsolete. Yep.
I mean, even if it does become obsolete, I think it has at least a good 2 years ahead of it. At least.
Yep.
And you know how Apple is usually pretty good in updating older devices.
Yeah.
I mean, even, I think they only recently dropped support for the iPhone 3G, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, and it's because, like, the old iPhone, maybe, not iPhone 3G. iPhone 3G also, the CPU and RAM was not enough for iOS 5. That's actually a good point. Only recently, iPad 1 is starting to look very obsolete or obsolete-ish, mostly because iPad 2 only apps are only starting to appear now.
Yeah, that's true. And I guess from the iPad 1 to iPad 2, there was quite a big jump in terms of, okay, you have cameras as well as dual-core CPU. And which makes it a much more functional device compared to the first one. If you compare the iPad 2 to the new iPad, while the new iPad has a Retina display, personally, I don't feel it's that great. Of course, it's better, but it's not game-changing to me. It's not super a must-have feature.
Only when you touch it, Tim. Only when you see it, Tim.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Okay, obviously the quad-core graphics will be good if you want to use your iPad for gaming, and I guess the future games will run so much smoother on the new iPad. So, if you primarily use it for gaming, that would be a good reason to buy a new iPad.
Maybe also buy the iPad accessory iTV.
Apple TV. Yes. It's an iPad accessory.
Yes, it is now. No. I'm actually considering buying one, mostly because of mirroring or Apple TV. What's it called? AirPlay. Yes, AirPlay mirroring.
AirPlay. Yeah.
That's very interesting. I think Lion also has AirPlay mirroring.
I think so.
Yeah. So that's fairly interesting. For me personally, maybe if I can connect it to a projector or something. But anyway, that's something interesting.
An HDMI projector at that. Unless you have a converter or something.
Yeah, before, Apple TV is fairly useless here unless you have an American VPN to get to, and then you need to get Netflix and all those stuff. But now, as a way to show your iPad screen to a TV, that's actually fairly interesting for me. I don't know what you think about that, but it's there's potential.
Yeah, that is true. So I guess, I think one thing we didn't mention yet is that actually today, Brunei time, yesterday, Australia time, AV Electronics actually announced their iPad 2 pricing, basically a price reduction. The Apple's actually maintaining the 16GB version, I think, throughout the sale of the new iPad, but AV has actually dropped the prices for the entire models, the entire product line. So do check out the prices, starting at $528 for the 16GB Wi-Fi and $698 for the Wi-Fi plus 3G. So the matching Singapore prices as well.
I think they already have the new iPad, Tim. somewhere in the back room.
Break in.
Let's jump up for a frenzy outside of Heavy Electronics come Friday. Wait a minute. Next Friday.
Yes, next Friday. Not today. My yesterday.
Where's my iPad? Where's my iPad?
Yeah, so I guess... any last words? About the iPad, not your own personal last words.
You can have my iPad. Anyway, actually, I think I might be buying a tablet, and I'm still not sure if I'm going to get a new iPad or the Samsung Note 10 inch. The Samsung Note 10 inch has that S Pen thing, which is really interesting for me. But I don't know, it's fair to say for the Android, because I haven't been using Android, and I actually need to study more about the apps. But I still probably would feel, or currently I am feeling, that if I get the Samsung Note 10 inch, I might miss up on the apps, perhaps. I don't know if that's fair. But anyway, So
you're in the market for a tablet, just wondering which one to get.
Yeah. So, is the iPad awesome? Maybe, but it's still not awesome enough to sway me to, like, definitely get this over the Samsung Note. Just as a throwing a bone to you, Android fanboys. Do we call you Android fanboys? I don't know.
What do we call you? Are you insinuating something?
Nah.
I guess, I don't know. I think you mentioned the Galaxy Note 10.1. It was just announced. You know, there's nothing about availability or prices as of yet. While the S Pen is nice to have, would you be paying a premium for that? For something that, in a sense, is untested and still unknown when it's going to come out for an unknown price? Versus, I guess, something tried and true like the iPad, which has been around for quite a while. It has made the tablet market. Basically, right?
It's still the tablet market. Some people would argue.
Some people may argue that too, yes. Obviously, a lot of apps are available for the iOS platform. And the new iPad is a nice increase or upgrade from the previous iPad 2. Nothing too spectacular, or perhaps it was just so hyped up with everything that it's a bit meh to me.
I think everyone expected almost exactly the same. In fact, there's no actual hype. There was hype, but somehow it was hype about the things that are essentially what do you call that? Announced. I think we also said it was meh for the 4S, but again, like the 4S, I don't think we doubt that it'll be also selling very well.
Yeah, but I guess maybe is it coming to a point where a lot of these are just evolutionary upgrades? There's nothing too spectacular. But obviously, it's still a good device.
This is, I think you already know where it stands on this. A tablet or the iPad is just a tablet with a screen. So at this point, I think the really, really amazing stuff would probably be software, or what the software is. For example, before Photoshop Touch, iPad 2 was something of a... Not really, it's great, but not that yet. it wasn't something you'd think about for editing photos, but then after Photoshop Touch, then suddenly, whoa, this is not bad. You can even do compositing really easy using the using iPad 2, now iPhoto. Even more so now, this week, maybe photographers are starting to think, maybe I could just get a I could get away with just using a iPad, although that's still a pipe dream, but yeah, it's getting closer. So maybe I don't know, I'm trying to think of something amazing that could happen to a tablet 3D.
I believe there have been tablets that tried that,
And
but they might be facing more other po more problems than just the 3D-ish of it.
there's enough resolution for 3D. Get on that Apple 3D.
It could do that, right? Like the left, they interlace the left and the right channel, and you just wear the passive glasses.
Ooh, maybe.
'Cause that's what YouTube does, right? You can actually play 3D on YouTube.
Really? Interesting. Is it using what's that term called? Red and blue glasses or
Stereoscopic, is it? Yeah, the red and blue glasses thing.
there's a term for that. But I can't remember. Anyway, yes. But yeah, I would imagine the tablet form factor, apart from the size, it's essentially there. They're just adding in new stuff. But yeah, I'm s hopefully the CPU, the better processing power, maybe the better camera will bring in new applications. That's what I'm excited for. Maybe not with the iPad 2 or the I keep on saying iPad 2, the new iPad.
Yeah, I did that too as well.
Yeah.
Why can't they just call it iPad 3?
Yeah.
So much easier to talk about it.
It would be better if I say iPad 3. I keep on saying iPad 2. But anyway, yeah, I'm more excited about the future. Paul is so excited about the future.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a good device, it's a good tablet. If you feel it's good for you, then go get it. If you got the money and it's reasonable enough, go spend it. That's true, right? Because at the end of the day, it's still a good tablet. I won't deny that. If it meets your needs, basically, if you're looking for something smaller, it may not be the best thing for you. If you're looking for something light, it may not be the best thing for you, but perhaps you're just not the market it's targeted for. But if it is good for you, then go ahead and get it. It's pretty much the best tablet for the most people out there. So yeah, if you want to spend the money, get the new iPad. If you want to save a bit of money, get the new iP oh, sorry, the old iPad 2, which is available at AV Electronics if you're in Brunei, and I guess while stocks last.
Or if you don't need, if you want to save more money, and if you don't need a tablet, don't buy anything.
Don't follow the crowd and don't waste your money.
Yes. Think of your children.
Think of your children,
Yeah.
not mine. I don't have any.
Yeah, I don't.
At least you teach children, so you can consider them yours.
Well, actually, children do love the iPad.
Yes, that is true. That is true. But anyway, I guess we should wrap things up. So, that was our discussion on the iPad announcement. As I mentioned, the new iPad, not the iPad 3, not the iPad HD, but the new iPad.
Also, a new Apple TV was announced.
With a new interface.
Yeah, it was cool. It's just,
For $99. And 1080p playback. An update to iTunes as well, to support 1080p playback and actually download movies from the cloud as well.
And iTunes now offer 1080p content.
Yeah. All good. The end!
We'll meet you in the next corner.